Not every crazy idea is a conspiracy theory, and not every conspiracy theory is a crazy idea. So I want to start out today's video by defining what a conspiracy theory actually is. An explanation for something that claims the existence of a conspiring, powerful, sinister group. They almost always include patterns, bad intentions, an element of threat, and secrecy. So, for example, thinking climate change isn't real is not technically a conspiracy theory, but thinking some politicians and scientists invented the false idea of climate change in order to better serve themselves in some way is. Also, a lot of us tend to bake wrong into the definition, and sometimes they are. Most conspiracy theories probably fall into the category of unproven and unlikely. However, conspiracy theories can turn out to be true, but I don't want to give conspiracy theorists too much credit. If they had plenty of proof, arguments that would hold up against scrutiny, if experts were in agreement, it would not be a debate of belief anymore. It would just be an acknowledgement of fact. Their evidence being shoddy or non-existent is kind of part of the whole foundation. So maybe their position is, well, of course it's difficult to get this solid proof. It's being deliberately kept a secret. The evil democratic layer underneath a pizza place definitely is real. I just can't actually show it to you because powerful people are keeping us out. The problem is, if you believe something, having flimsy or zero evidence for it, and then later evidence comes forward that proves you right, it does not justify that initial belief. You arrived at the right conclusion, but through luck, not logic. I've been thinking a lot about conspiracies, and I know I'm not alone. In 2021, a poll showed 73% of Americans think conspiracy theories are out of control. I want to go into a number of questions today, including how conspiracies have changed over time. Is belief in these theories growing? And if not, why does it feel that way? How do people end up believing these things are true, and what should we do about it? If I had to guess, over the entire course of human history, I'd say belief in conspiracy theories has had overall a downward trend. People in ancient times were very superstitious. Weird events of all kinds were chalked up to demons or witches because there was so much about the world that we didn't understand yet. And according to multiple studies, there is a positive relationship between believing in the supernatural and in conspiracies. Obviously, no one can say for sure when the first conspiracies came around, probably because it was so long ago, it was before we were even writing stuff down. But I did find one example from the year 64 CE. There was this huge fire in Rome, and some Romans believed that the emperor and his servants intentionally started it in order to rebuild the city how he wanted it. But anyway, there's a bunch of different traits that early humans developed that could have led to belief in conspiracy theories. This research points out pattern recognition, agency detection, and threat management as things we evolved to protect ourselves and live alongside other people. But those are also things that conspiracy theorists use in their beliefs. I feel like pattern recognition is a huge thing in QAnon. Like, Q is the 17th letter of the alphabet, so anytime the number 17 appears anywhere, or just the numbers 1 and 7, anywhere close to each other, they see that as a connection. There's a pattern. And we don't just recognize patterns. They're like pleasing to the brain, so we seek them out. We try and find patterns, even when they may not truly be there. And same with being wary of threats. That's something that has persisted since the earliest civilizations. It was better to assume that unknown neighboring tribe was going to hurt you, because then you would prepare for a fight or to run. If they turned out to be nice, oh well, no big deal. But if you were right in that assumption of threat, that could be what saved your life. People in olden times had to deal with a lot more threats than we do today, but that part of our brain is still there. And even though I said before, I think the amount of conspiracy theory belief today is lower than what it was way back in the past, it does seem like there's always a certain amount that sticks around. The authors of American Conspiracy Theories analyzed letters written to the press from 1890 to 2010. Just think of how much technological, scientific development happened over the course of those years, and yet the amount of conspiratorial content in the letters remained pretty consistent over time. This study looked at a bunch of different conspiracy theories and compared how many people believed them at an earlier time versus more recently. So something like the government faking the moon landing, only 6% of people believed in 1995, but it went up to 10% in 2021. But other things like thinking the police framed OJ was at 34% in 1995, now down to 11%. Overall, some increased in popularity, some decreased. It basically backed up the belief that the baseline of conspiracy theories has been more or less stable. And I get it. There's always been people who believe stuff like this, and there probably will be forever. World's not perfect, but the part that has been frustrating to me lately is the attitudes towards conspiracy theories by the general public, the media, and by people who don't believe. I'm glad the data is showing that these beliefs aren't really increasing, but I want to keep it that way. And I'm concerned that the way conspiracies are treated now could lead to higher belief in them in the near future. Part of the problem is globalization. The internet connecting the world means that, unlike in the past, there can be global conspiracy theories, and we've seen those. And obviously, there's no going back. Globalization is here to stay, and it's not completely a bad thing. It's great for spreading information and knowledge, but it also includes the spread of misinformation. You know, back in the day, like if a group of people in a small town believed that their town leaders were actually aliens, at least the problem was somewhat constrained. Now, if a president of one of the most powerful countries in the world says a conspiracy theory into a microphone, half the world is listening. The possibility of harm caused on a global scale is scary to me, and we have been witnessing what happens when serious topics are not taken seriously, when conspiracy theories are treated as viable before we have the right information. People believing conspiracy theories are less likely to follow health and safety measures, more likely to discriminate against certain groups, and even maybe more likely to commit small crimes. My hope is that it does not take an hour-long argument or 20 studies to get most people to understand that having some people, even if it's a small percentage, believing in conspiracy theories is not a good thing for society. Lucky for us, when most people hear about conspiracies, they don't believe them. So why does it feel like they're everywhere? Maybe they're louder and angrier than in the past? Obviously, any person can get a platform now with social media and say whatever they want, more or less. You know, it's one thing to believe one wrong thing, like dentists are poisoning us with fluoride. It's another thing to believe that, along with 9/11 was an inside job, and Barack Obama wasn't born in the US, and vaccines cause autism, and school shootings use crisis actors, etc. I mean, to be fair, I would probably be a lot more likely to speak out publicly and passionately if I genuinely believed a shitload of conspiracies were attacking society. And one thing that came up over and over again in the research was one of the best indicators of if someone believes in a certain conspiracy theory is that they already believe in another one. You can see this a lot in the documentary Behind the Curve, which is mostly about flat Earth, but it's very clear that the people are like magnets. They love finding new conspiracy theories to collect, even if it contradicts other ones that they already believe in. Doesn't matter. Add it to the list. Another one of my guesses as to why conspiracy theories seem more popular, aside from believers getting louder and angrier online, is non-believers treating conspiracies as casual, kind of weird, but fun things in order to gain an audience and probably make money. There is a difference between having empathy for someone who believes conspiracy theories, tolerating them without any real pushback, and playing along. Do you guys remember in the 2010s when Shane Dawson was having like this huge revival? Some of his videos at that time that skyrocketed him to even more fame than he already had were about conspiracy theories. Of his top five most viewed videos ever, three of them are about conspiracy theories, over 140 million views. And of course, Shane Dawson has his problems, but I bring him up as a very successful example of one of the many content creators who realized the benefit of entertaining conspiracy theories to get clicks. Shane has covered so many. I'd be surprised if he 100% believes all of the ones that he's talked about. And I wouldn't be that surprised if he doesn't really believe in any of them. He's just playing along. But my whole point is he makes believing in the Illuminati seem kind of quirky and cool and not that weird, not a big deal. Like, it's normal to buy into these kinds of ideas. Another huge channel with similar issues is Jubilee. They have learned that the crazier, more fringe beliefs get more engagement because they induce fear and anger. This production company treats people who have blatantly incorrect and harmful beliefs as just people with different opinions who deserve a platform on equal footing with experts? That perhaps if we just hear out both sides, we can find the truth somewhere in between astronomy and astrology? In this video, which is Jubilee's third most viewed video ever, one of the flat earthers talks about how they're so excited to be there and be given a chance to talk about their beliefs because most of the time they don't have an opportunity on a big platform to do that. And I was thinking, well, that was probably for the best. And not that incorrect people don't deserve freedom of speech, but to go out of our way to give them airtime, presenting them as somewhat legitimate, is not in people's best interest. And beyond YouTube, these problems are in mainstream, higher production channels as well. Netflix being a particularly big offender lately, at least that I've noticed. And I'll admit, I occasionally enjoy a show like Making a Murderer, but the entire premise of that show is a conspiracy theory that Stephen Avery was arrested and convicted because of secret collusion of corrupted police and legal systems. I'm a little worried that a lot of regular people just browsing through the top 10 in 2015 came out the other side fully believing in a conspiracy theory just based on those episodes. No further questions. And it's not to say that I think the case in Making a Murderer is all buttoned up, nothing weird about it, because some of the evidence presented in that show was pretty compelling. But it's one thing to think, that's interesting, maybe this or maybe that. And another thing to think, I believe there was a conspiracy theory behind this. There's a big difference between being skeptical and asking questions and filling in gaps with unproven answers as if they're definitely true. I've recently been watching this Netflix show, The Keepers, which is about an unsolved murder of a nun. And there's a lady in the show who is just a former student of the nun, and she's trying to solve the case. And she has this one line where she says, "I have this image of myself. I'm sitting in a room and there's all these wires coming down and none of them are connecting. I'm impatient for connections." Humans' desperate desire for answers and closure is exactly how we can end up forcing these connections when they may not really be there. A lot of YouTubers and influencers and movies and shows come at conspiracy theories with this attitude of seriousness and also complete unseriousness at the same time. Like Shane's videos and a lot of true crime type content have this really dark, dramatic, weird tone, as if this topic is being taken very seriously. But the whole fact that it's being played up and dramatized for the purposes of entertainment takes away from the seriousness and takes away from the fact that a lot of the conspiracy theories thrown around are very likely false. Another thing I wanted to bring up in this video is, who is a conspiracy theorist? Like, you know, all types of people, but are there any commonalities, like certain education or income levels? And depending on the similarities, what does that mean about those people's lives that leads to belief in conspiracy theories? I guess I started out with this image of like a middle-aged white dude who maybe is divorced and moved back in with his parents at 40 in a lower middle class suburb. And that's probably due to recency bias on my part, because the most recent conspiracy theory that I felt like got a ton of media coverage was QAnon, even though that's already a few years ago at this point. But that image in my mind seemed to mesh with the image that was being put out of people who were involved in that conspiracy theory. But obviously, it's a stereotype. So something that was a little surprising to me was that younger people are more likely to believe in conspiracies than older people. Less surprising to me was having higher education and higher income level usually means less conspiratorial. And people who are on either extreme end of political ideologies are more likely to be conspiracy-minded. That might be partly why we're seeing more talk of conspiracy theories in the news, because over recent years, news media has been giving disproportionate amounts of coverage to the most extreme political talking points in order to draw in audiences. Also, Black people, in the US at least, are more likely to have these beliefs than whites. And one thing that stood out to me right away between all of these groups, young, lower income, less educated, Black, these are all people who have less power. And this is where I have some more empathy. Groups that have been historically victimized, people who end up with the short end of the stick through the hands of people in power, at times in secret through actual real conspiracies, yeah, of course, they're going to be more inclined to believe in these theories. Because they're at a higher risk of being targeted, it makes sense that they're on higher alert and would maybe assume more to try and preemptively protect yourself. And this kind of opens a whole can of worms of inequality being a root problem. It really piles on, like, the more of the deck that's stacked against you, the more likely you are to be conspiracy minded. It's a terrible cycle. Like, you are uneducated, so people take advantage of you, and you develop some conspiratorial beliefs about people targeting you in response. And that makes you seem more uneducated because some of those beliefs are false. And then people use that against you to justify not giving you any more power or control. Some studies suggest that conspiracy belief can actually end up increasing discomfort and anxiety, the exact things that people are hoping to calm down by seeking out explanations. Just being part of one of these disadvantaged groups probably isn't enough. And these are all pretty surface level things that people can fit into. The stronger indicators compared to the demographics I just talked about are characteristics about personality and what your brain is like. So what is a conspiracy theorist really like? How do they think? They're layered, unique people, and obviously not a monolith. They don't all fit into the descriptions I've talked about so far. But for the sake of finding themes, a few things that seem pretty solid are being more narcissistic, paranoid, having pseudoscientific and paranormal beliefs, and lower cognitive ability. These probably aren't too shocking to anybody. Something else with a pretty high connection is intuitiveness. People with conspiracy theory beliefs really rely on their gut feelings. They have a low level of trust in most other people and groups, instead putting a lot of trust in their own intuition to form a reliable and certain view of the world. And this is a tough one because intuition is basically programmed into us. To second guess your intuition is to take an extra step, to put in additional effort after your initial feeling, which can be really strong. We don't want to do that. Like, it's hard to rely on me to check myself, but intuition is not a reliable way to get answers on complex ideas and mysteries of the world. It's not equipped to handle stuff like that. Intuition is another one of those ancient features that we evolved when life was more about surviving. And not to say that it isn't useful anymore, but it doesn't always lead to the truth about things. Your intuition and your gut feeling could tell you that that noise in the middle of the night is an intruder breaking in. And maybe it's right, and maybe it's wrong. Research suggests that people who show active, open-minded thinking are less likely to believe in conspiracy theories. And I thought that was interesting because you have to be kind of open-minded in a way to hear something like birds aren't real and not immediately shut that down. I mean, I think I'm pretty open-minded, but I'm also pretty non-receptive to any kind of bullshit quackery. Like, I even get a whiff of that and I'm immediately super skeptical, which maybe is why I have such strong negative feelings about conspiracy theories and misinformation. So I think the open-mindedness that is being measured is more likely an indicator of the type of person who thinks about their own thinking. They're more reflective and analytical with strong critical thinking skills. They're open to being wrong and to admitting they don't have enough information and answers to jump to a conclusion. In that Flat Earth documentary, you can see the true closed-mindedness of people in those kinds of groups, being faced with conflicting evidence and refusing to consider it. Some of these psychological characteristics are deeply embedded into who we are as people. Some of them we might be born with, some might be learned behaviors, and others, a mix of both. You can't rid society of conspiracy theory beliefs. Even if there was a nationwide program to address this problem, some would still live on and new ones would continue to pop up. But just because you can't completely stomp out a harmful thing does not mean that you should just say whatever and let it slide. And I feel that way about a lot of things. And there are some parts of the conspiracist mindset that I actually think we should be encouraging because they're super valuable, like skepticism and demanding transparency, asking tough questions. So from that point, I guess I'm glad that conspiracy theorists have bravery and some level of curiosity to understand the world beyond surface level. Some of them are actually quite educated, just in the wrong direction, and some of them are more than capable of understanding complex concepts. Just look at some of the tangled webs they make sense of. So how can we foster this curiosity and desire for learning while making sure it leads down the path of truth rather than potentially dangerous speculations? One option is to use the education system, which, as I have talked about before, needs work. So does the whole government, okay? I'm trying to make it work with what we have. I don't think we could hope for larger scale change without relying on institutions to play some part. And an actual tangible example that has answers in policy is to address income inequality for a million reasons, but one small one being that it could help reduce conspiracy narratives. But we can't just focus on the government and institutions either, because people who have already signed up to believe in these theories have zero trust in any sort of groups with authority, so there's a good chance that they'll completely tune out the message if it comes from any sort of people in power. We also need to work on a smaller, more individual and personal level, putting an emphasis on critical, reflective thinking at school, at work, at home, with your friends, in lots of spaces, so it gets hit over and over again. Take the time to think about your thinking and talk about it with people that you know, and get comfortable with saying, I don't know, sometimes. You don't have to have an 100% firm opinion on everything, and that's okay. It doesn't make you not smart. There's not necessarily only two options when it comes to a conspiracy theory, not just this is true and this is false. There's also, this could be true, but I'm not convinced. Kind of similar to the difference between guilty versus innocent and guilty versus not guilty. Just because you vote not guilty does not mean that you completely believe the person is innocent. It just means that you don't have enough to be convinced and believe that the person is beyond a reasonable doubt, guilty. At the end of the day, who falls for false conspiracies and why they do can't be fully explained by disordered beliefs or demographics or any particular thing. Sometimes you're just in the wrong place at the wrong time, unlucky. And it feels funny to give such a vague answer like this, but sometimes there just isn't a clear answer. And not having an explanation for a mystery of the world is what so many conspiracy theorists feel uncomfortable with, which leads them to seek out explanations that might be weird or straight up wrong. But I'm not going to fill in the gaps of these questions if we don't have the answers yet, just because that would make for a more satisfying ending. I can't pretend that all the people who fall for conspiracies are narcissistic, uneducated, religious nut jobs who come from a difficult upbringing just to make myself feel better, or that I'm safe, because the truth is, no one is immune to propaganda, not even you. Hopefully, being aware of this issue and its consequences is a good starting point, though. Let me know what you thought of this video in the comments. Subscribe if you want to see more from me, and thanks for watching.